Today on the Molecular Arts Review, we're hitting the West Coast to get the skinny on the LA art scene. And who might be guiding us through? Well, it's the one and only Francesca Gavin, art critic and curator, of course. She's down the line with a triple whammy of LA art hits, one of which sounds like this. Stay tuned, though, because that is an artwork. We will be discussing it later. Are you intrigued by that? We'll find out what that might be on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Francesca Gavin, welcome to the programme as ever. Really nice to have you on the line. It'd be nicer to have you in person, but hey, you made one of the two great art pilgrimages of the 21st centuries and been in LA, and now you're in Berlin. So let's talk through your first choice. We're all LA-centric today. This is the new show at The Broad. Talk us through this. It's a private collection. Talk us through the importance of this building and of that collection to the Los Angeles art scene, Francesca.
It's a very interesting private collective space. It's something that everyone in Los Angeles has been looking forward to for a number of years. He's one of the best known collectors in the world, definitely one of the best known in the city. He's known for collecting hugely famous and exceptionally valuable artworks. So when you go into this building, what you really feel is value and market-led money, as well as the sort of best of some of the biggest names of the past 50 years of contemporary art.
Is that the take home, actually, from this, that it is the greatest hits of the art market? Or do you see a very fine taste that Eli and his wife have put on the walls?
Well, there is a bit of both things. You feel like there's his own taste within it, which can be quite garish at times, but also can be quite interesting. There's an amazing room devoted to Ed Ruscha, some really good Basquiat works. I mean, there's a room devoted to Jeff Koons that's a little bit more shiny, let's say. Or some pieces that you really feel are a bit surprising. There's one room devoted to Joseph Beuys, which is a lot more considered and perhaps sits out a little bit from our choices.
And it's a funny one as well. It's a nice idea, I guess, being able to kind of look at the vaults. That's always the accusation, maybe, when people have multi-million, billion-dollar art collections, that so much of it is in a sort of a freeport somewhere, or, you know, certainly under sort of lock and key rather than hanging over the mantelpiece. That's presumably not the way with these guys, or not with their best stuff, which is here. Maybe you can talk us through the kind of rhythm of the show that they've got at the moment, how the building works and what the vibe is.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting. You enter on the ground floor and there's a selection of works in a more kind of basic museum space. It's a very cubic building next to a Gehry building, which is very dramatic on the outside, whereas this building is much more dramatic on the inside. So there's a lot of photographic work and like performance documentation on the ground floor. And then you go on this giant escalator in a kind of curved space. It's almost like coming through like a womb into a beautifully open lit white cube with natural light kind of space, which has these sort of rooms devoted to different big artists. So it's kind of an open plan white cube in that sense, which is very bright and very open. But there's other sections that you feel are much darker. There's going to be a Cindy Sherman show opening later in the year that they're installing that you feel is in a more enclosed space. And then as you work your way back down from this top exterior, interior, you end up seeing all the vaults and inner workings and sort of basically a storage space. So it's a reveal of, I have all this valuable work, but this is only a crumb of my collection, which is kind of taunting and interesting at the same time.
Is there quite a lot of natural light in this space, or are we seeing it under kind of laboratory conditions?
It's half and half. It's very much a private collector's collection. It's not really laboratory-like. It's more like, it's classic. It's very contemporary classic.
I have a great deal of respect for that, in a way. I think you've been firm but fair, Francesca, about The Broad. It sounds amazing. We should tell our listeners to book their free ticket as soon as possible, because if you want to go to Los Angeles, or you are a resident of it, you might have a couple of months to wait unless you want to do some very smooth talking at the front of the queue. We're going to move on, Francesca, to your next choice. It's Haroun Mirza at Francois Gebali Gallery. Talk us through this one. Haroun Mirza, always an interesting artist.
Well, Haroun is, I'm a huge fan of this. I've actually spoken about the show in Basel where this was included originally. So this is part of Haroun's alternative collaborative practice, which is HRM Limited. And it's basically him in collaboration with different artists. And the show that he's done in LA is responding to an artist called Hannah Horowitz, who's dead now. And she would create these kind of graphic interpretations of music, or like almost like scores, but made with color and line. And what Haroon's done is he's taken that score and turned it into installation. So you enter this room, you're surrounded by different LED flashing colored lights and sound elements that basically translate an artwork into another artwork. And it's really beautiful and very, very interesting. And I think more than anything, what's so great about Haroon is how he manages to balance technology in a really accessible way. It's very much a perfect example of his practice, and it's part of what makes him one of the most interesting artists, I think, of his generation.
Well, let's have a little clip of what this new show by Haroon Mirza sounds like then. That was Haroon Mirza at François Gebali Gallery in Los Angeles. That is one of the choices of Francesca Gavin, who is talking us through her LA must-sees today on the Arts Review. Do you need to know the kind of backstory, do you think, Francesca, for something like that? Can you walk into this dark room, lay down on your back, sit down on a chair, just stand there and let it drink up the sound? Do you need to know what's going on in order to appreciate that?
What's so interesting about this kind of work is you don't have to know anything about it. I hate going into exhibitions where you have to read a press release before you understand it. There's an immediacy to what he does. Before you enter this kind of musical room where you stand and you're surrounded by these lights and colors and sound, there's also a wall with the foam, which is used as sort of insulation within soundproofing, and that in this context turned into something completely sculptural that we can all connect to on a purely material level. I mean, everyone can understand a flashing colored light and sound and engage with that without having to get the layers of meaning that you can get afterwards with its art historical references, which, I mean, that's what's so good, and there's so much depth here.
Well, that is a ringing endorsement. That's Haroon Mirza at François Gebali. We're going to finish, Francesca, at your final choice, which is Michael Genovese at Moran Bondaroff. A couple of good names there. Tell us about Michael Genovese's pieces. This one, I feel, in doing some preparatory note-taking, I did need to be talked through a little bit. Maybe you can fill me in.
Genovese's a great artist. I've been a fan of him for a long time. He was originally from Chicago and based in Miami for a long time. And now he's in Los Angeles, where he still shows with a gallery which originally moved from Miami, Moran Bondaroff, which used to be called Oh Wow. And this show, which is about to open, is basically an interpretation of a play on the history of abstraction, which also touches in with the idea of how we use our phones. So what he did is he looked up different words on his phone. Let's take the word guilt. And before things turn over and you're using Google Image Search, you're presented with these colored cubic shapes, and he's translated that into these very finely made paintings. So it's very much about a translation of technology from one medium to another, but also at the same time, how do you reinvent our relationship to the abstract in a way that's contemporary and interesting and has meaning? And I think he does it really well. The format of the paintings echoes the same kind of ratio of the actual format of a phone screen. So very much like narrow and tall. I think actually both Haroon Mirza and Michael Genovese's work at the moment is touching in on this kind of heritage of Joseph Albers and kinetic art and this kind of history from the 1960s, which is kind of being given new meaning in a contemporary context.
And so you're sort of looking at something that is neither one thing nor another. It seems like a very contemporary, futuristic maybe take on, you know, the great subject of so many kind of classical paintings, a sunrise or a sunset. It's neither here nor there. Do you know what I mean? Do you get that sense? Do you get a sense of nature with this, or does this seem exceptionally digital and machine made? Not the images themselves, but what Michael Genovese is referencing.
What I really like about this work is there's a real physicality to it. It feels like it's an object. It doesn't feel digital. It doesn't feel like something clinical in that sense or digitized. You really feel like someone's painted it, which I think is quite important and interesting. Because, I mean, and personally, I'm really fascinated about our relationship to screens, which I think is very different from our relationship to, say, television or movies, that kind of cinematic heritage. I think now we have a much more intimate relationship to, like, the screen object, the phone. We touch it in our pocket. There's a more, like, it becomes an extension of ourselves in a way. So I think this is a really important and interesting thing that a lot of artists are addressing at this point in time. And I think this is a very kind of classic way of interpreting that. I mean, other people have used the similar approach, notably Raphael Rosendahl, but I think that Mike's new work has a real sense of depth to how it's materialized.
Francesca, thank you so much for talking us through Michael Genovese. That's the last choice at Moran Bondaroff. Before that, we talked about Haroun Mirza at François Geberli Gallery in Los Angeles. And finally, we begun with The Broad, the greatest hits of the art market. Perhaps charmingly displayed, who knows? You'll have to listen back to Francesca Gavin's three choices. That brings us to the end of today's show. My thanks to Francesca Gavin on the line from her wonderful new joint in Berlin. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. The show is produced by Holly Fisher, researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for a roundup of the week in music. But for the time, for me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.